AdvancedEnglish.net. Listening and Reading 3. Cleopatra and Mark Antony. A duopoly. Good afternoon. Today, we're going to talk about a queen from the ancient world in a story that involves beauty, suicide, forbidden love, and violence. And the name of that queen is Cleopatra the Seventh. Cleopatra the Seventh? You say? That's not possible. Surely there was only one Cleopatra. Well, there was only one famous Cleopatra. But she was in fact number 7. And the next surprising news is that Cleopatra wasn't even 100% Egyptian. You see, Cleopatra's ancestors stretch back to the Ptolemaic dynasty. If you remember your history, Alexander the Great conquered Egypt, and after his death, the country was ruled by one of his generals, Ptolemy. Therefore, all the subsequent rulers were of Greek blood and spoke Greek. In fact, Cleopatra was the first pharaoh who could actually speak the language of Egypt. Something she could do because, as Plutarch tells us, she was an accomplished linguist who spoke 8 languages fluently. Plutarch, that Roman historian who is always popping up in ancient history conversations, I added conversations to the text, wrote, "It was a pleasure to hear the sound of Cleopatra's voice, which, like an instrument of many strings, could pass from one language to another." So, now we've established these little-known facts about Cleopatra, let's talk about her early life. Well, like all Egyptian pharaohs, she was the product of an incestuous relationship, which is not an uncommon feature of royal dynasties throughout history. The idea, of course, is members of the royal family only marry each other in order to maintain the purity of the bloodline. This meant that not only was Cleopatra created through intermarriage, but she also had to marry her 10-year-old brother. Ugh. That is one honeymoon video I wouldn't want to watch. Anyway, she became queen at 16, but of course she was supposed to rule with her kid brother. To Cleopatra's credit, though, she made it clear that not only was she not going to have a relationship with the boy, but she wasn't going to share power with him. In 51 BC, she did something very unusual and removed his name from all official documents and his image from the coins. The tradition was that the female ruler be subordinate to the male, but Cleopatra was the first to not accept this. Unfortunately, though, much loved as she was, she made some powerful enemies. Many courtiers preferred her younger brother, as he was easier to manipulate. So a conspiracy against Cleopatra in 48 BC meant she had to flee into exile, where she remained until the Roman Civil War between Caesar and Pompey. Pompey, who had ties with Alexandria in Egypt, fled there from Rome, and what happens next is a typical tale of the ancient world. The brother of Cleopatra, now sole ruler of Egypt, wants to gain favor with Caesar because Caesar will be the next Roman leader. So he captures Pompey, chops his head off in front of his wife and children, and presents the head to Caesar when he arrives in Egypt. However, what the 13-year-old Egyptian forgot to take into account was that, yes, Pompey was an enemy of Caesar, but he was also the husband of Caesar's dead daughter, as well as a Roman consul. Furious, Caesar took the Egyptian capital and decided to make himself the arbiter between the young Egyptian king and Cleopatra. And this is when the famous carpet incident takes place. Cleopatra wants to meet with Caesar, but if she enters the palace, she'll be killed by her brother's soldiers. So she enters the palace wrapped in a rug. The servant, who pretends he's delivering the rug to the palace, enters Caesar's quarters, unrolls the rug, and out pops the beautiful Cleopatra. Voila! It's said that he fell in love instantly. He was 52, she was 22. Obviously, he restored Cleopatra to the throne. 9 months later, she had his son, who was nicknamed Little Caesar, and her brother was defeated in battle and drowned in the Nile. So, she's had a baby with the most powerful man in the world. She's the Queen of Egypt. Surely she lives happily ever after. Well, no one lives happily ever after in the ancient world, especially not Caesar, who is murdered. And as soon as Caesar is dead, Cleopatra's son is in danger, because he's one of Caesar's heirs, and the new ruler will kill all his rivals. What happens next is years of alliances, wars, and political maneuvering. It should be mentioned, though, as history focuses on her love life, that Cleopatra was an able ruler, steering Egypt through famine and various military conflicts. The next major event, however, occurs in 41 BC when Mark Antony, one of the triumvirs now running Rome, summons Cleopatra to Tarsus to confirm her loyalty. Cleopatra arrives, but when you talk about Cleopatra arriving, it's the sort of glamour that makes Hollywood look modest. We're talking boats in the shape of swans, perfumed sails, and of course, the luscious Cleopatra herself. And, surprise, surprise, Mark Antony falls in love at first sight. Now, bear in mind that in the deal that carves up Caesar's empire, Mark Antony has to marry the sister of one of the other emperors, Octavian. But then he goes and marries Cleopatra, and she has his baby. Twins. So he wasn't really doing a good job of building good relations with his power-sharing partner. What happened next is that Mark Antony is totally consumed by Cleopatra. They had another child, and Cleopatra was named as ruler of various lands such as Armenia, Libya, Parthia, Syria, and Cyprus, and given titles such as Queen of Kings. Now, as you can imagine, back in Rome, they started to get a little anxious, and people said that Cleopatra was planning a war in which Mark Antony and Cleopatra would proclaim themselves rulers of the world. Octavian started a war against Egypt in 33 BC to destroy this perceived threat. In 31 BC, Antony's army fought against Octavian at the Battle of Actium. Antony was resoundingly defeated, and many of his remaining units deserted. Faced with humiliation and captivity in Rome, he committed suicide and fell on his sword. He died in Cleopatra's arms. Once Mark Antony was dead, Cleopatra was captured by Octavian. A high-profile captive like Cleopatra, who was not a Roman citizen, would have been paraded through the streets of Rome and killed in the games, strangled in front of the crowd, or thrown to the lions. Clearly, she could not let that happen, and she committed suicide. Despite the fact she had a guard to stop her killing herself, she was, as ever, clever and seductive. A snake was smuggled into her quarters. Cleopatra let the snake bite her, and her suicide was complete. But of course, the story doesn't end there. What happened to the children, one from Caesar and three she had with Mark Antony? Well, poor Caesarion was strangled to death, but the other three were spared. Curiously, the three children were raised by Mark Antony's jilted wife. Maybe the ancient world wasn't quite as cruel as it seemed. Okay, I hope you enjoyed today's class. Now I'd like you to do your writing task for the week by visiting our website, advancedenglish.net, or our Facebook page, Advanced English Vocatic, and tell us which historical person or period interests you most. Excellent. Well, that's all for today. Don't forget the writing task, and I'll see you next week. Goodbye.